smiled, pulling me in closer. Maybe. The first loud crack of the pier fireworks show sounded and the beach cheered. Leaning up from Rhodes' grasp, I retrieved my camera from the beach bag and flicked through the settings. Just as I lifted it to focus on a red and white burst firework, Rhodes grabbed my hands.
Why do you always do that?
Do what?
Try to photograph every moment. Trust me,
he said, lowering my hands back into my lap and pulling the camera from my grasp. He dropped it on the towel next to us and pulled me back to him.
Sometimes it's better with your own eyes.
And it was. Every loud boom echoed off the water and reverberated through my chest as the fireworks lit up the beach. I tried to keep my eyes on the sky, but I was drawn to Rhodes each time his face was illuminated. His strong jaw, his barely there scruff, his beachy hair. Even though his eyes took on whatever color the fireworks decided, I could still see the bright green shining through.
What are you afraid of, Natalie?
He asked, his voice just above a whisper, as he repeated the question I'd asked the first time he set foot in my room. It felt heavier this time. Everything with Rhodes felt heavier.
Loving you?
He frowned, two perfectly symmetrical lines forming in his brows. Chewing my lip, I looked back at the sky, afraid that maybe I'd said too much. Did I love him already? I loved being with him. I loved the way he made me feel. To me, that was dangerously close. And it was the truth. There was nothing I was more afraid of than waking up one morning to find my heart belonged to the one man I knew could break it. One single firework broke the sound barrier before the finale began. As lights and booms chased each other over the water, Rhodes tilted my chin toward him, catching my eyes with his own. Then he closed the distance and pressed his lips to mine. It was a slow kiss, passionate and calculating. Maybe he was telling me it was okay to be scared, or that he felt the same fear, too. Or maybe he was telling me to leap.
Chapter 18
Natalie,
Rhodes warned, leaning his broad chest against my hamstring to apply pressure again. I felt the stretch deep in my muscles and I moaned louder. Rhodes instantly dropped my leg, letting it fall to the floor as he sat back on his heels.
What? I feigned innocence. It feels so good, Rhodes. I can't help it.
He shook his head.
You're going to get me fired.
How? You're just stretching me out. I am your client.
Yeah, but if stretching leads to you moaning, which in turn leads to me fucking you against the wall in the sauna, I think that might go against club policy.
My mouth grew dry at the image he'd painted and I chewed my lip. Lifting my wrist, I thumbed through the options on my watch until I found the voice recorder. Note to self, ask Dale to install a sauna in the pool house.
You have a pool house?
Yep. Come over tonight, and I'll give you the tour. Rhodes chuckled, standing and making his way toward the back office.
Can't, bug.
Why not? I asked, scrambling to my feet to follow him. It wasn't easy, and I internally groaned. Rhodes had been pushing me hard all week. I was getting stronger, and he was testing my limits, though I couldn't really complain. Every time he showed me how to lower into a new squat position or illustrated a glute exercise, I took advantage, touching him longer than necessary or leaning my body into his. We were garnering glares from nearly every woman in the gym, but I didn't care. I was branding him, just like he'd branded me.
I have to be somewhere.
I swallowed, staring down at my sneakers as Rhodes filed through the paperwork on his desk. His t-shirt was ripped at the sleeves and the sides drooped down low, giving me full visual access of his ripped abdomen. The muscles flexed with each small movement as he shuffled random client files into place. I hadn't thought about the possibility that he still might be offering his after-hour services. I clutched my stomach. Do you have to meet another client? Rhodes' eyes met mine, his brows knitted together in confusion.
What?
When realization hit, he dropped the papers in his hand and crossed the room to me in two full strides.
Oh, fuck, Natalie, no. I'm done with that. It's me and you now, okay? I'm only touching you, and you're the only one touching me.
He weaved his hands into my still damp hair and forced me to meet his gaze.
I swear.
Sighing, I nodded.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. You had every right to assume.
Clearing his throat, he stepped back, filtering through the papers once more.
That's actually part of why I can't hang out this evening, though. I have a job interview.
A job interview? He nodded.
It's at this new bar they just opened down at the Crawl. Nothing big, but it'll be enough to cover what training can't.
Oh, God. My hands flew to my face. You have to get a second job, because of me. Rhodes chuckled, tossing a paperclip in my direction. It bounced off my forearm and landed next to my sneaker.
Stop, Bug. This is a good thing. I don't want to do what I've been doing to earn a living.
I peeked at him through my fingers and his nose flared slightly.
I'm worth more than what they think I am.
My heart squeezed and a smile met my lips. Was it possible Rhodes was finally seeing what I'd always seen in him? Still, I knew the extra money he made wasn't just spent on worthless material things. I frowned. What about the private investigator for your sister? He moved to me again, taking me in his arms.
I'm giving him his last payment tonight. It's time for me to start letting go, and this is step one.
Wait. I pushed my hands into his chest. I can help. I'll pay for him to keep looking. This is my fault, and I know you believe she's still out there. His jaw tensed. Please let me help. How much do you pay him?
Stop.
Rhodes pinched the bridge of his nose, but still kept the other arm secured at my waist.
You are not paying for him. After this week, his services are done. And that's it. We don't talk about him again. Okay?
I wasn't happy about that decision, but I nodded. I knew there was no point arguing with Rhodes, but a part of me still ached, thinking I was possibly responsible for him giving up on the search of his sister. Forcing a smile, Rhodes pulled me in for a quick kiss.
It's okay, he promised against my lips. I think I'm ready. I think I need to start letting go.
Fisting my hands in his wet t-shirt, I pulled him closer. I can help. His throat constricted and he slid his hand into mine, pressing his index finger hard into my wrist.
You already have.
Willow called to catch up the next day while I was enjoying my day off from training. She was so excited about her program and everyone she was meeting at Appalachian State. If I didn't have Rhodes, I would have been jealous. Since I did, I was able to be completely happy for her. We only talked for 20 minutes before she had to run, but it was nice hearing her voice, especially when she squealed after hearing I'd worn the swimsuit she'd bought me. It was a lazy Wednesday, which I actually cherished. I spent the day watching more episodes of Lost and even took a nap, which I couldn't remember doing all summer. I had a big night planned with Rhodes, and I wanted to be awake and energized. When I woke around 5, I had a missed text from Mason. I'm worried about you. Did you think about what I said? I rolled my eyes, stifling a yawn as I padded across the cool hardwood to the stairs. Funny, Mason seemed more invested in my well-being now than he ever had in the 2 years we dated. For once, I was beginning not to care what Mason thought of me, or anyone else for that matter. I took my time getting dressed, applying my makeup with careful precision. It paid off when Rhodes slid into my passenger seat with a whistle at just past 8.
You look gorgeous,
he said, planting a sweet kiss on my lips as I threw the Rover into drive.
So, are you going to tell me where you're taking me yet?
That would ruin the surprise, silly. He grumbled.
I'm too impatient for surprises.
Clearly, I laughed, but the sound caught in my throat when his hand reached across the console and ran up the inside of my thigh. I was wearing a short white dress with a modest top and an A-line hem. The more his fingers inched north, the more I squirmed. Rhodes, I warned.
What? Am I distracting you?
I hesitated longer than normal when the red light turned green, which was all the answer Rhodes needed. He chuckled from a place deep in his chest.
I fucking love the way I affect you,
he whispered, trailing his hand higher. I gripped the wheel. Rhodes, seriously? I bit my lip, nervous to tell him exactly why he needed to stop, but when his fingers crawled even higher, the words flew from my mouth. I'm not wearing any panties. I had whisper yell, just barely audible over the sound of the radio, but I might as well have announced it through a microphone at the stadium. Rhodes stopped, his hands just inches from my center, and a devilish grin curled on his lips.
Well, I'm definitely not stopping now.
The air conditioning was on full blast, but suddenly it felt too hot to breathe.
Move your seat back as far as you can to still be able to drive.
My shaking hand found the control on the door, and my seat slowly slid back a few more inches.
Put both hands on the steering wheel, he demanded next, and keep them there.
I gripped the wheel at 2 and 10, my knuckles whitening with the force. Rhodes kissed up my neck and sucked my earlobe into his mouth, his hand riding higher and higher up my thigh.
Tilt your hips forward, he whispered,
and when I did, he filled me with 2 fingers. I gasped, my eyes fluttering closed.
And don't crash.
My eyes snapped open again. With his fingers still dancing inside me, Rhodes kissed and sucked the sensitive skin of my neck, making it practically impossible to keep my focus on the road. The sun hadn't even completely set yet, but the Range Rover had illegally dark-tinted windows, which almost eliminated my concern that passing cars would get a peek of the show. For once, I was thankful for Dale's obsession with his cars.
It's a good thing you're not wearing panties,
Rhodes breathed, withdrawing his fingers slowly before thrusting them inside once more.
Because they would definitely be soaked now.
I moaned, biting my lower lip with enough pressure to draw blood. Rhodes' eyes caught the motion, and he snaked in to replace my teeth with his own. I was trying so desperately to pay attention to the road, but his mouth was everywhere and his fingers were relentlessly pushing me closer to the release I was anxious to find. My hands shook on the wheel, my breaths were labored, adrenaline pumped through my veins as if I'd stolen the car we were driving. My core was tight, my legs tense, and I could feel myself on the brink of desire. Rhodes maneuvered his left arm from where it had been holding him up on the console, and he gripped the bottom of the steering wheel.
Hit the cruise control.
I did as he said before snapping my hands right back into position. I was squirming in his hand, moans ripping from my throat.
You're not going to come unless you let go.
Glancing at him through heavy eyelids, I blanched when I realized what he meant. I can't. I started, but his thumb found my clit, and I moaned instead of finishing my sentence.
Trust me, I've got the wheel. Let go, Natalie.
I hesitated, but slowly my hands fell down to the sides of the wheel. One gripped the door while the other rested on top of where his was between my thighs. Pushing him into me with more force, I ground my hips against his palm under mine, finding the perfect friction to send me spiraling. My eyes closed, my lips parted, and I fell. It was a release unlike any I'd had before. Quick, electric, forbidden. Incredible. When I opened my eyes again, I jerked my hands back into place on the wheel, realizing Rhodes was steering only with his left hand. He held it steady, but my sated mind was still afraid of losing control. Rhodes only smirked, slowly removing his fingers before lifting them to his lips. My breath caught as he slid them inside his mouth, sucking my desire off his skin. I was still panting, my mind racing with what we'd just done. Leaning back in his seat, Rhodes fastened his seatbelt and didn't say another word. 10 minutes later, we pulled into the parking lot of LaRue's, a small beachfront restaurant known for its high-end dining experience. Dale and Mom liked to eat there at least once a month, and usually while there was a special event or show. I was hoping to give Rhodes a more hands-on introduction.
We can't eat here, Rhodes said, shaking his head as I put the Rover in park.
He was staring up at the restaurant logo with wide eyes. I straightened out the slightly wrinkled fabric of my dress, heart still racing. We're not just eating here. Rhodes cocked his head, questioning. We're cooking here. Before he could ask any questions, I hopped out of the car and made my way toward the entrance. I tried to hide the smile on my face as he jogged to catch up to me, just as the tall glass and mahogany door gently swung open.
Good evening, Miss Poxton,
the gentleman holding the door greeted. He was tall, with skin as dark as willows and bright hazel eyes.
Always a pleasure to see you.
And you, Marcus.
This must be Mr. Rhodes.
Marcus extended his hand, and Rhodes stared at it for a short moment before giving it a firm shake.
Our executive chef is ready for you in the kitchen. This way, please.
Marcus escorted us through the pleasantly crowded restaurant to the back kitchen. I watched Rhodes' eyes as we passed each intricate section of the dining area. LaRue's was famous for its various dining environments, from the cozy palace corner donned with rich reds and browns, to the bright whites and blues of the outside beach-themed experience.
Rhodes had so many firsts of mine. It was nice to finally get to experience a first of his. When Marcus led us through the swinging double doors, an entirely new atmosphere engulfed us. There were chefs running everywhere, flames burning high, orders being shouted. In a normal universe, I might have been alarmed, but in the current one with Rhodes' wide eyes and curious smile, I was nothing but excited.
"Aw, Miss Paxton."
Chef Karsak wiped his forehead with an off-white towel, tucking it into his back pocket just in time to reach his hands out for mine. He kissed them with a wide, toothy grin, and I returned the smile.
"It's such an honor to have you in my house. Come, come."
He gestured to the stove he was just working.
"Thank you, Marcus. I'll take it from here."
"This is incredible,"
Rhodes murmured, taking in the chaos of the kitchen. Chef Karsak smiled, folding his arms against his chest.
"Isn't it? Never gets old. I take it you must be Mr. Rhodes."
Again, Rhodes hesitated just a short moment before shaking his hand. Chef Karsak shouted out a few expletives at a chef across the kitchen before returning his eyes to Rhodes, still smiling.
"I'm Joseph Karsak, the executive chef here at La Rue's. Miss Paxton said over our phone call that you are quite the cook yourself, that right?"
For the first time, Rhodes almost looked embarrassed. He cleared his throat and slightly nodded.
"Brilliant. Let's get started, Mr. Rhodes."
Chef Karsak clapped his hands together. He was slightly shorter than Rhodes, but it was easy to see Rhodes looked up to him anyway. The two of them went to work, mixing and searing and tossing and baking. I helped out a little here and there, but for the most part, I just watched. It was fascinating seeing Rhodes in his element. He understood everything Chef Karsak said, while I, on the other hand, was just as confused as when I ordered from the menu. None of the cooking techniques or dish names made sense to me, but they were like a second language to Rhodes. I had only asked for an hour of Chef Karsak's time, but the pair was getting along so well that we ended up staying until the last dish was prepared. It was comical at times watching them work together because they were such opposites. Chef Karsak had ashy blonde hair and dark chocolate eyes, a stark contrast to Rhodes' dark hair and bright eyes. He shouted and cursed and was just generally a larger-than-life character, but Rhodes was quiet, focused, meticulous. Rhodes was tall and built, the kitchen tools almost looking too small for him since I was used to seeing him surrounded by weights, whereas Chef Karsak was shorter but lanky and almost perfectly matched to his kitchen. And where Chef Karsak seemed to do everything with neat precision, Rhodes had more of a sporadic style, though it was still controlled. The fire in his eyes was just as hot as that on the stoves, and I knew he would eventually find a way to make this his life. He had to. When midnight rolled around, the rest of the chefs in the kitchen were still cleaning and prepping ingredients for the next day, as Chef Karsak pulled Rhodes in for a manly hug and a hard clap on the back.
"You know, I think I might have learned a thing or two from you tonight,"
he said through a grin.
"This has been incredible."
Rhodes' eyes found mine.
"I don't think I can thank you enough."
"It was my pleasure."
Chef Karsak kissed my cheeks and Rhodes and I made our way outside, but he stopped us one last time.
"Listen, you go get your culinary arts degree, hone in on your skill and tighten up your methods, and you have a spot on my team."
Rhodes' jaw dropped slightly, but Chef Karsak just smiled, handing him a business card.
"Don't waste any time. You need to be in a kitchen, Mr. Rhodes. It's your home and you've been away too long as it is."
He nodded to me once more.
"Take care, Miss Paxton."
"Thank you again, Chef." With one last wink, Chef Karsak disappeared behind the swinging doors, instructions flying from his mouth immediately. I led Rhodes out the back door of the restaurant and down to the beach, kicking off my sandals when we reached the sand. He still hadn't said anything, so I slid my hand into his.
"You're quiet. Should I be scared?"
Rhodes shook his head, a peaceful look on his face as he stared out at the moonlit waves. He wasn't smiling, but he wasn't scowling either. He just looked content, pensive.
"Did you at least have fun?"
Rhodes stopped then, his hand still firmly grasping mine. My breath caught at the way the soft blue lighting of the night reflected in his eyes.
"Are you kidding? Natalie, this is one of the best nights of my life, right behind the night that you chose me outside of Willow's house."
My heart jumped.
"I still can't wrap my head around what just happened."
"You were amazing to watch in there." The left corner of his lips pulled into the faintest smile.
"No one has ever called me Mr. Rhodes."
He shook his head, wetting his lips.
"No one has ever shaken my hand like that, Like I mattered, like I meant something.
I frowned. You do matter, Rhodes.
His eyes gleamed. I'm starting to believe you.
Tentatively, his hands found my hips. He pulled me closer, pressing his forehead to mine, and I threaded my arms around his neck, kissing him softly.
Can we stay for a while?
Pulling him down into the sand with me, I answered without words. We were close to the water's edge, the waves gently rolling in just over the tops of my toes. Rhodes slipped off his shoes and joined me, and we sat in comfortable silence, our minds replaying the evening. I felt alive with Rhodes next to me in this state. He had changed so much since the beginning of the summer. I wanted to say it was like I was peeling back his layers, but the truth was, Rhodes didn't work in that simple of a manner. I couldn't just break down one wall and step easily through to the next. He was a constantly altering maze, a Rubik's Cube of complexity I wasn't sure I would ever fully understand. But I knew with absolution that Rhodes was like the wet sand I tried so desperately to grasp that night. I could feel him, he was real, and he was slowly letting me mold him into how I'd seen him in my mind all along. But eventually the moon would fade, the tide would recede, and the sand would dry beneath the heat of the sun, slipping effortlessly through my fingers. Still, I held on tight anyway. Chapter 19. That Friday at training, I felt like I was back with the Rhodes I met day one. He was quiet, broody, and he was on my ass like he had something to prove. I was already dripping in sweat, and we were only 45 minutes into our session. "Is everything okay?" I asked finally, starting on my third set of lunges.
"Fine."
I rolled my eyes. "Seriously, we're back to this?"
"Back to what?"
Rhodes sniffed, gently pushing down on my shoulders to force me lower. My legs shook and I gritted my teeth. "Rhodes." He sighed, giving me the sign that I could stand, and I exhaled with loud relief, shaking out my legs.
"I'm sorry. I'm fine. I just had a late night."
I couldn't ignore the way my stomach dropped at his insinuation of a late night that I wasn't a part of. "But we're okay?" His brows bent over his intense emerald pools, but he nodded. I knew better than to push him, but still his reflex moods bothered me. He wasn't like a roller coaster, he was like a car crash, one that I felt like I'd have to live over and over again forever. I wanted him to stay the way he was at the beach on the 4th of July, the way he was just 2 nights ago outside of LaRue's, but those bright times were fleeting. I somehow managed to make it through the rest of the session without vomiting, but just barely. When I was mid-cool-down on the treadmill, my phone pinged in my gym bag.
"Want me to get that for you?"
Rhodes asked, wiping down his machine. "Yeah, it might be Dale." Rhodes fished my phone out, and the screen lit up again just as he handed it to me, with Mason's name. His jaw ticked, his eyes taking on a forest green hue. Tossing his white towel over his shoulder, Rhodes made his way back into the office without another word. I groaned. "Wait, Rhodes," I called out, ending my session and jogging after him.
"Are you still fucking around with him?"
Rhodes asked as soon as I shut the office door behind us. My mouth popped open. Is that a serious question?
"Why wouldn't it be? Your body is changing more every day. Clearly he's noticing, and the whole reason you ever walked into this gym was because of him. Makes perfect sense to me."
"Rhodes, I don't want Mason. I chose you, remember?"
"Yeah. Why is that exactly, Natalie?"
Without warning, my fingers began to tremor, mirroring my unsteady heartbeat. Rhodes was looking at me like I'd betrayed him, and I had no idea why. I shook my head, confused. "What do you mean? I told you all of this already, Rhodes. Isn't it obvious?"
"Well, I thought so, but I don't know anymore."
"Don't do this," I pleaded, reaching out for him. He jerked his arm back. "Please talk to me."
"What are you hiding from me, Natalie?"
Rhodes pounded his fists on the desk and I jumped. His voice boomed with anger, but his eyes gleamed with fear. It was the strangest combination. I just stood there dumbstruck, like his question was in a foreign language. What did he mean? I was nothing but open and honest with Rhodes.
"Fuck,"
he shouted, flipping a stack of papers. They fluttered to the ground and Rhodes ran his hands roughly over his head. He held them there for a moment before slowly reaching into his pocket and retrieving a small, folded piece of paper. He handed it to me without looking at it. Hesitantly, I took it from his grasp, unfolding it as if it was tied to an explosive. When I read the words written in neat script in the middle of the fold, my heart stopped. Stay away from Natalie Poxton. I read those five words slowly, then all at once, then one by one, until they didn't make sense anymore. Not that they had to begin with. My brows knitted together, and I lifted my eyes to Rhodes, dropped them back to the note, and lifted them again. His expression was unreadable. What is this?
I found it taped to my bike windshield when I left the gym last night.
I whispered, my voice hoarse. I don't understand. Rhodes exhaled through his nose, tucking his bottom lip between his teeth.
If there's something you're not telling me, there's not.
I cut him off, reaching for him again. He jerked away and my eyes blurred, lips trembling. Rhodes, please, you have to believe me. I don't know what this means. He was quiet a moment, his jaw tense, his arms crossed. The sweat had dried on my skin and I was suddenly freezing. Rhodes wouldn't look at me, but I could tell he was battling with what the note meant, too. Then it hit me. God! My hand found my forehead and I closed my eyes tight. It's Mason, it has to be. When I opened my eyes to find Rhodes, he was already shaking his head. No, listen to me. He told me you were bad for me when he pulled me to the side on the 4th of July. He texted me a few days later asking if I'd thought about what he said. And he just texted me again asking me to call him. Natalie, Rhodes argued, saying my name like a warning, but I didn't give him a chance to finish the thought. He's jealous, and he's an immature little boy. He's playing a stupid game. Please, you have to believe me.
I can't.
I shook my head, my mouth still open, my hands extended toward him. I was so cold. Everything was so cold. Why not? Rhodes cracked his neck, bending over slightly and splaying his hands on the desk. The muscles in his arms tensed, and he stared at the wooden surface between his thumbs. When he glanced up at me from beneath his still-furrowed brow, I waited for his answer. I never could have imagined the words that left his mouth next.
Because it's my sister's handwriting.
Chapter 20. I convinced Rhodes to let me take the note home with me. There was something about it, something familiar, but I didn't know what. He was hesitant at first, but given that I was its main subject, he agreed to let me study it for a while. The house felt emptier than usual that night. I was lying on the floor in the living room, staring up at the chandelier above our coffee table, replaying the scene at the gym. Rhodes let me take the note, and though I wanted him to believe me, I knew a part of him was still wary. How could he not be? The note had a clear warning, one that I couldn't begin to understand, and it was written in his sister's handwriting. Rhodes held me after dropping the bomb about his sister, but I still felt a hesitance even with his arms around me. He was trying to figure it all out, and even though he might not have wanted to believe that I could hurt him, his basic instinct told him otherwise. I couldn't blame him. My only suspect was Mason, but how did he know about Rhodes' sister? I guess everyone in town did that year that it happened. Still, I couldn't see him being that cruel to try to pull over an illusion that she wrote it. With him crossed off the list, I didn't have any other ideas as to who could have written the note. Unless it was his sister. That possibility shook me to my core. If that were the case, that meant Lana was alive. Furthermore, it meant that she was alive and that she hated me or at least wanted her brother to stay away from me. But why? Groaning, I grabbed a pillow from the couch and covered my face with it before tossing it to the side again. My head was spinning with no chance of finding steady ground anytime soon. Everything I thought I knew about Rhodes was back in limbo, in a place where I couldn't be sure of anything. Yanking my phone off the charger, I thumbed through the contacts. I debated calling Willow, but it was Friday night and she was supposed to be at her first college party. Part of me ached to be there with her, part of me was selfish enough to wish she was home with me instead. Mom and Dale were still up north and wouldn't be back home for a few more days. I could have called them, but they didn't know about my relationship with Rhodes, so they couldn't help either. Sighing, I dropped my phone back to the floor and continued staring up at the ceiling. A loud knock at the front door woke me from my daydream a few minutes later, and I reluctantly climbed to my feet. Padding over to the foyer, I peeked through the peephole, and I didn't know how to feel when I saw him standing there. Slowly, I unlocked the door and propped it open with my hip. "Hi." Rhodes' brows pulled inward.
"I'm so, so sorry, Bug."
I opened my mouth to speak, but simply closed it again. I wasn't expecting an apology.
"I can't believe I treated you like that today. I can't stop thinking about it. I have no idea what this note means, but I do know that staying away from you isn't going to make anything in my life better. You're the only light I have, Natalie."
My stomach felt light and heavy at the same time. I expected Rhodes to call me tomorrow and tell me I had a new trainer. I thought he was gone. I thought I'd lost him. But we'd grown in the short time we'd known each other. Him standing on my front porch was living proof of that. My voice cracked along with my strength. "I don't know what the note means. I swear I don't."
"I know,"
he said quickly, reaching out and pulling me into him. I tucked my nose into the crook of his neck, squeezing my eyes tight.
"I don't want to think about it right now."
I pulled back. I don't know how not to think about it. Rhodes grabbed my hand in his and led me into the house. Stretching out on the couch, he dragged me down with him and wrapped his arms around my middle. My back was flush against his chest, and he softly kissed the skin on my neck.
"I want to take you somewhere tomorrow."
I sighed, my chest tight. I was emotionally spent from the day, yet his hands on my waist and his words on my skin were all I needed to feel whole again. "Anywhere," I answered, sliding my hand into his. I pressed my index and middle fingers together in the center of his wrist, exhaling through the ache in my chest when I felt his steady heartbeat. "I'll go anywhere with you." Rhodes woke me early the next morning. He insisted on me letting him pack my bag for whatever we were doing, and I guess a normal girl would have objected. I was pretty low maintenance, though, and was more excited about the fact that he was surprising me. I couldn't remember a time Mason had ever thought to surprise me with anything. I didn't mean to always compare them, but being that Mason was the only example of a relationship that I had to go off of, it happened frequently. Rhodes outshined him in every category. We were on the road by 6, Rhodes behind the wheel of the Rover. He had one hand fixed at the top of the steering wheel and the other firmly on my thigh. It was so cliche, Willow would have hated it, but it made me smile for the first time in 24 hours. We didn't talk much as Rhodes drove. I stared out the window, sipping on the tropical smoothie I picked up at the gas station before we left Paxton Beach. I didn't know where we were going, but I was relieved we were getting out of town, even if it was just for a while. A little less than 3 hours later, we pulled into a small gravel parking lot in front of an open-faced, wooden gazebo-type building. Rhodes jumped out and shook hands with a large, bearded man who asked him a few questions before throwing me a wink and jogging off.
"Come on," Rhodes said, opening my door.
I stepped out and helped him load up a few bags in the cooler he'd packed. We made our way to a small shuttle, tucking our items in around our feet as the same bearded man climbed into the driver's seat.
"All right, y'all, you ready to spend some time on the Edisto River?"
I smiled. "We're canoeing?"
"We are."
"All day?" This time, Rhodes smirked.
"Something like that."
I lifted a brow in question, but he just kissed my hand still locked in his. The drive was short, but our driver, Clint, chatted animatedly about the river the entire time. It was one of the longest free-flowing blackwater rivers in North America, and it ran all the way down to its end in Edisto Beach, where it met the Atlantic. We were still in the same state, just a few hours from Paxton Beach, but it was as if we were in an entirely different country. It was so quiet, nothing but wildlife and the gentle rustling of the wind through the leaves. Clint helped us unload the canoe when we arrived at the drop spot, lowering it steadily into the water. Rhodes secured our bags inside the canoe before attaching the small cooler to the back. It floated easily, and I marveled at Bad Boy Rhodes showing off his Boy Scout skills.
"Ready?"
he asked, still steadying the canoe with his hands. He was glancing up at me through his slightly longer than usual hair with a boyish grin. I nodded, his excitement infectious. Rhodes and Clint both helped me inside the canoe, which really wasn't necessary, but I accepted the extra help. Lord knows I was far from graceful.
We'll see you two tomorrow. Have fun.
Clint shook hands with Rhodes quickly before jogging back to the shuttle.
Tomorrow?
Rhodes grinned, climbing in to sit on the small bench beside mine in the canoe. We each had an oar, and Rhodes used his to kick us off the riverbank.
Relax. We're not paddling all that time.
Then where are we going?
You'll see.
The Edisto River was smooth and easy to maneuver, its dark waters reflecting the bright blue sky and tall green trees surrounding it. We passed a few other canoes and kayaks and the occasional paddleboard along the way, but for the most part, we had the river to ourselves. Each mile housed something new to see, from turtles to tree swings, and Rhodes surprised me by pulling my camera from one of the bags he packed so I could capture the moments. I tried focusing on what he'd said before, about not striving so much for control in my shots. I played with settings, filters, zoom, and lighting, not letting my need to find the perfect shot drive my direction. It was freeing. We stopped at a shallow section for lunch, jumping out of the canoe and into the cool water after we ate. Rhodes had packed simple sandwiches for lunch, but I could see other ingredients in the cooler that were more suited to be cooked, which only made my curiosity grow. Once we were back in the canoe, Rhodes took over paddling completely, letting me face him and relax a little. He was absolutely gorgeous to watch. The muscles in his chest and arms flexed with each row, and he had a permanent smile glued to his face. His fierce green eyes were set ablaze among the backdrop of dark water and cypress trees.
Can I ask you something?
Uh-oh,
Rhodes answered, smirking.
Why don't you let anyone call you by your first name?
He sighed, dropping the oars back into the water before leaning back and smoothly propelling us forward. For a long moment, he was quiet, and I almost told him he didn't have to tell me, though I desperately wanted to know. But after searching for the right words, he finally spoke.
Do you know what the name William means?
I shook my head.
Resolute protector.
Rhodes squinted against the sun fighting its way through the trees.
I believed in it when I was younger. One of my early foster moms, the only one I recall who wasn't a drugged-out loser, told me it meant I was born to protect those around me, so that's what I did. I stood up for those who couldn't defend themselves, whether that was a kid in school being bullied or one of my foster moms being smacked down by their piece-of-shit husbands.
I flinched in that image, wondering how much Rhodes had to see in his formative years. I didn't have to wonder anymore where the scars on his abdomen came from.
That's part of why I was seen as such a delinquent when I got in high school. Yeah, I got in a lot of fights, and I got caught in bad situations, but I was always in those situations because I was helping someone else. It was the one thing I clung on to. I wanted to be worth something to someone. I protected kids, teachers, friends, strangers, foster siblings, pets.
He swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing beneath his stubble-covered neck.
And above all else, I protected Lana.
He didn't have to say another word for me to understand why he didn't let anyone call him William. He was her protector, but he wasn't able to save her. He didn't feel like he deserved the title anymore.
I don't know. After she disappeared, I just felt this ultimate failure seep into my bones. It was like the only claim to worth I had was stolen. Or rather, I had let it go. There were signs leading up to her disappearance. Bruises, scratches, and she was always sad. Tired.
He shook his head.
I asked a few times, but she said she was fine. I knew in my gut it was something more. A stalker, a crazy boyfriend, something. But she always tried to shelter me. And I let her. I didn't do shit about it, I just let it all go.
His jaw was tense as he rowed.
So I gave up protecting. I gave up trying to find value in myself. I gave up on pretty much everything.
I chewed on his words, aching to reach out to him, but I wasn't sure if he'd let me hold him or not. It killed me to know that he somehow felt responsible for Lana. It wasn't the kind of guilt that was easy to let go of. Can I ask you something else? Rhodes seemed to be stuck in his own thoughts still, but he nodded. Yesterday you were the same Rhodes I met at the beginning of summer. You pushed me away. He frowned but didn't argue.
But then you showed up at my door last night, and now we're here. It seemed like you were so sure I'd betrayed you. Tucking my hands between the wood and the back of my thighs, I glanced at him through my lashes. What made you change your mind? He stopped rowing, letting the soft current of the river take over. His eyes were fixed on mine. I just realized that I've lived a life without love, without caring for someone else or letting them care for me, and I don't want that to be the only kind of life I have. He shrugged. I made up my mind that night you gave yourself to me that I was never going to walk away from you or the possibility to feel like I have purpose again. I'm not letting one note change that. My heart leapt at the word love leaving his lips. He wasn't saying that he loved me, but he wasn't saying that he couldn't. To me, that was just as exhilarating. We stopped again when we found a large rope swing, taking turns riding it out above the water before dropping in with a splash. I was in another two-piece bathing suit, one I'd purchased myself, and Rhodes took a photo of me in it mid-swing. He motioned me over once I resurfaced to show it to me, and I smiled. I looked so free, so happy, so confident. While Rhodes looked over the map he'd taken from Clint, I pulled on my white cover-up and rested on a large log extended out over the water near the swing. I laid on my back, watching the clouds float the opposite way of the current, the sun glittering behind them. There was a soft, cool breeze over the water, and it flowed through my hair as I rolled over onto my stomach. I was face to face with my reflection in the dark river as I hung off the log, one arm hanging down toward the water. I studied the girl looking back at me, her long, dark blonde hair slightly lighter at the ends from the summer sun. Her eyes were wide, cheeks high, smile genuine. She was far from the broken girl I'd seen in the mirror the first night Rhodes touched me. That summer changed me, not just on the outside, but the inside, too. I didn't look at life as a burden or a puzzle I didn't fit into anymore. Instead, it was a beautiful challenge, one I didn't have to face alone. The girl gazing up at me from the river might have been 30 pounds lighter than the girl who entered that summer, but she was also 30 times stronger. She was smarter, more experienced, and she had no limits. Extending my pointer finger, the tip just barely touched the surface of the water, sparking a ripple that distorted my face first, before taking the rest of my body with it. It was then that I realized my life was my own. I could do anything, be anyone, if only I had the courage. When Rhodes called my name, motioning back to the canoe, boyish grin locked on his face, I nodded and leaned up on the log. But before I jumped into the water, I glanced back down at River Natalie one more time, appreciating her for how far she'd come and knowing that there was still so much more to come for her, too. I'd been so focused on losing weight, on getting to a certain point where I thought I'd find happiness. It turned out that joy wasn't made by the destination, but rather discovered in the journey. I looked forward to the next mile in mine. Chapter 21. About an hour later, we came upon a large treehouse extending about 20 feet above the water. There was a fire pit below it and a hammock hanging between two trees sticking up through the water of the river. Wow, I breathed. How neat is this?
Glad you like our home for the evening.
I spun around. Are you serious? Rhodes smiled, steering the canoe toward the house. Once we reached the bank, he hopped out and steadied it as I did the same before pulling it up onto the shore. We each grabbed a bag and Rhodes lifted the cooler. We're staying here.
We are. It's all ours tonight.
I couldn't help the giddy feeling coming over me. I was never much of a camping kind of girl, but I always wanted a treehouse. Dale never built me one. He said it would be an eyesore on our perfect yard. This house was the furthest thing from an eyesore. We climbed up the wooden steps to the entrance, revealing an outdoor dining area complete with a rocking chair and tiki torches. Just inside was a small but clean and cozy futon, a makeshift kitchen with gas grill and cooking utensils and plenty of oil candles. It was just like any treehouse I'd ever dreamed of, except adult size. All I needed was a no boys allowed sign. Sneaking a peek at the sliver of skin between the hem of Rhodes' shirt and his swim trunks, as he reached up to tuck our cooler onto a shelf in the kitchen, I swallowed. Never mind about that sign.
Are you hungry yet?
Not really. Can we explore? Rhodes smiled.
Absolutely.
We spent the rest of the afternoon hiking, swinging off rope swings into the river, and lounging in the hammock out front. We talked about a little of everything, including how Rhodes had been looking into culinary schools. It was as if we were finding our confidence together, me and my body, Rhodes and his ability to be better than his past. It's amazing how just having someone believe in you can suddenly make something that seemed so impossible to achieve feel like it's only a matter of when, not if. After dinner, Rhodes and I sat around the fire pit listening to the nature all around us. We made s'mores, which shocked me because I'd never seen Rhodes eat anything outside of his strict meal plan, and I played around with my camera, catching different shots of Rhodes through the flames of the fire.
Why do you love photography?
I smiled, snapping another photo of him. The orange glow from the fire played against the shadows of the night on his face. I told you once before, you don't remember?
You told me you're nerdy about it, and it's your passion. You never told me why.
I frowned, realizing I didn't know the answer. I guess I just love the power of being able to temporarily freeze a moment in time, even if it's not as good as the real thing. I like being able to pick up a photo, close my eyes, and feel that place and time again. I flipped through a few settings on my camera and took another shot. We have thousands of memories, and our brain is like a never-ending filing cabinet. But sometimes you forget about something until someone reminds you to pull that file. That's what photos do for me. They take me back.
And what about the future?
I dropped my camera into my lap, adjusting my position on the small tree stump. I don't know. I've always wanted to shoot photos for the future, photos that would drive me and make others who weren't in my memories feel something powerful. But I guess, to be honest, I'm just kind of lacking inspiration. It hurt to admit because I'd always thought photography was the one thing in my life I had complete control over. But the truth was that I knew I had so much work to do to really hone my skills. It was part of the reason I wanted to go to an art school, not a state university. Rhodes seemed lost in thought across the fire. After a moment, he slowly rose and pulled me to my feet, too. Sliding his hands into my hair, he pressed his lips to mine, claiming my mouth with his own. It was a possessive kiss. It was needy, yet patient and sure. He broke it long enough to whisper against my lips.
So, let me inspire you.
Suddenly, the fire's heat seemed so futile. In one fluid movement, Rhodes lifted me and I wrapped my legs around his waist, locking my ankles. His mouth never left mine as he climbed the stairs. He laid me down softly onto the futon and stood, grabbing his shirt at the back of his neck and pulling it up and over his head. In the candlelight, the ridges of his abdomen were highlighted even more than usual. I bit my lip in anticipation of having him pressed against me. Moving to the edge of the futon, I slid my hands over his muscles, and each one tensed with the touch. I pressed my lips to his skin, kissing him over and over. His hands found my hair, and the urge to take control hit me. "I want to try something," I whispered, untying his board shorts. I tugged them down over his hips, and they fell to the floor. Rhodes was so hard, so ready. He kicked the shorts to the side and stared down at me as I took him in my hand. Groaning, he flexed into my grasp as I moved my hand up and down his length in a slow and steady rhythm. Hesitantly, I bent forward and just barely touched his tip with my lips. Rhodes growled, grabbing my chin between his forefinger and his thumb and tilting my face to meet his.
"Natalie," he breathed. I wasn't sure if it was a warning or a plea.
"I want to try," I repeated, swallowing. "But I need you to show me how." I'd never gone down on Mason, mostly because I'd never had any desire to see him come apart at my touch. With Rhodes, it was all I craved. I wanted to make him feel the way he made me feel. Powerful, wanted, sexy. He cursed, looking up to the ceiling like God would help him maintain composure. I took it as permission, sliding my tongue flat against his length before taking him in my mouth. He groaned, rolling his hips in time with my mouth, careful to not push too deep. Grabbing my hand in his own, he showed me how to stroke him where my mouth wouldn't meet. He coached me through swirling my tongue, and when I pulled him in too deep and gagged, he moaned. Apparently, gagging was a good thing. Who knew?
I did it again, pulling him in a little deeper and letting my natural reflexes take over. This time, he cursed and pulled back.
You're trying to kill me.
On the contrary, I'm trying to make you come.
Rhodes smirked at my forwardness, and I blushed. He bent to my lips, covering them with his own and slowly laying me back on the thin mattress. Effortlessly, he stripped my clothes off, piece by piece, littering the treehouse with them as he did. When he slid between my legs, pressing his hard on against my inner thigh, my breath caught and I held on tight to his biceps. He reached blindly for his wallet, but I grabbed his hand with my own.
I just want you.
Rhodes furrowed his brows, unsure. I'd been on birth control for 2 weeks, and I wanted nothing more than to feel him, only him, inside me. I physically ached for that uncensored connection.
Please.
I thrusted my hips up to meet his, the tip of him sliding to my wet opening. He inhaled stiffly, pressing his forehead to mine.
You're so light, Natalie.
He shook his head, but gripped me tighter.
I'm afraid I'll ruin you with my darkness.
I kissed him hard, tugging on his bottom lip with my teeth as I struggled for a way to make him understand. Pressing my hands firmly against his chest, I slipped from beneath him and crossed the room. I blew out the candle on the small coffee table before moving to the next one in the small kitchen. One by one, I extinguished the flames before making my way back to him. He pulled me to straddle his lap, and I locked my fingers behind his neck. I could barely see him, only the soft natural light from the stars and moon sneaking in through the open windows lit the house. Still, I could feel every inch of him pressed against me. I could hear his heart hammering in his chest. I could smell the scent of his body wash mixed with his desire. Sometimes, the darkness is where you find yourself. Carefully, I slid down onto his length, feeling every naked inch of him for the first time as I took control. Let me find myself in you. Rhodes groaned, his jaw falling slack as he tilted his eyes to the sky. He rolled his hips into me and I gasped at the fullness. We blindly felt for each other, kissing and touching to find where we wanted to be. His breaths were in my ear, his tongue was on my skin. He was everywhere, I was nowhere, he completely surrounded me. Just like the darkness. It was in the moonlit shadows of that night that I found myself. Rhodes wanted to inspire me, but the truth was that it was the possibility of what we could be together that inspired me the most. For one night, even if that was all there could be, I lived inside a passion I never knew existed with a man I never saw coming. Rhodes was an unanticipated thunderstorm, and I danced in his rain. Chapter 22.
So, let me get this straight, Willow said, tucking her long caramel-colored legs beneath her. They were dark against the soft yellow of her new dorm room comforter. Rhodes is actually his last name, but you can't tell me what his first name is because it's personal? I nodded, smiling at the screen of my laptop where Willow was framed in a video chat window. It was Wednesday, my day off from training, so we made sure to schedule time to catch up. She had already shown me her room and told me every detail about her first college party, and now we had moved on to Rhodes, which was always her favorite topic of conversation. And the same Rhodes who made Nathan Arnold piss himself during weightlifting practice from simply yelling at him to move benches took you on a canoe trip down a Disto River to a beautiful treehouse tucked into the trees where you let him teach you how to suck his wang? I blushed, covering my face with a pillow. Lo. Well, am I on track so far? Rolling my eyes, I waved my hand at her to continue, cocking a brow in amusement. So, you already had this super romantic weekend together, which is already weird because it's Rhodes, but on top of it all, you did so with both of you knowing in the back of your mind that he found a note on his bike that said to stay away from you, and he thinks it's written in his dead sister's handwriting.
Willow, I warned, shaking my head. Have a little respect.
Okay, his assumed-to-be-dead sister.
That's not any better.
But am I right?
I sighed, tucking my pillow closer to my chest and resting my chin on the edge.
Pretty much.
Willow clicked her tongue.
Jeepers, Chica, I think your summer is more interesting than my entire life.
I chuckled, not moving my head from its resting place on the pillow. She watched me through the screen for a moment.
You really like him, don't you?
I nodded.
It scares the shit out of you.
She said it as a statement, not a question. I simply nodded again. It's just, when I first met Rhodes, he was so closed off to me, to the world. And now he's letting me in, it's like he's pulling me down fast into an ocean of feelings I've never felt before.
And you think he'll drown?
I swallowed. I know I will. I'm the ship and he's the water. It never ends well for me when there's a storm. Willow blinked.
Are you turning into me? That totally sounds like some shit I would say.
Someone in Paxton Beach has to take your place. Might as well be me.
Please,
she said, waving her hands at the screen and checking the polish on her nails. No one can think of bullshit cliches like I can, but valiant effort, Nat. She winked and we both laughed. Willow took it as an opportunity to change the subject, which I was grateful for.
So Mom and Dale come home tonight?
Yeah, they should be here in a couple of hours.
You going to tell them about you and Rhodes?
I frowned. I don't know yet.
Willow shook her head. You couldn't just fall for a banker's son or wait until college and find a lawyer to be. Something boring and predictable that would save you this emotional tug of war and make your parents happy?
I've been doing boring my entire life, I said, shrugging. I'll take whatever heartache is coming to feel this alive for a while longer. Willow smirked, braiding her long hair to the side.
My best friend is growing up.
I'll have wrinkles soon.
Or gray hair.
Probably both.
Don't worry, Willow assured me. I've read anti-aging blog posts. I know just the cream and hair dye to fix all of that. As long as your vag doesn't dry up, we should be good.
I laughed. I miss you.
Miss you more.
After hearing horror stories about Willow's roommate and refusing to tell her anything about my experience going down on Rhodes, we reluctantly ended our video chat just as I heard the front door opening downstairs. Christina had already gone home for the evening, so I knew it was Mom and Dale. Tossing my hair up into a messy bun, I skipped downstairs, excited to hear about their trip up north. As soon as my feet hit the bottom stair and I saw my mom's mascara-streaked face, my stomach fell.
Mom?
She choked on a sob, her hand flying up to cover her lips.
Oh my God, what's wrong? What happened?
I flew from the stairs and pulled her into a hug. She folded into me easily, leaving all of her weight for me to hold. I felt the tears run from her eyes and soak through my t-shirt, but I only held her tighter. When another car door slammed outside, Mom's head snapped up. Wiping at her face, she urged me toward the stairs.
Go upstairs, honey. I'll come to your room in a little bit.
No, I'm not going anywhere. Is he high? She smiled, but another tear fell from the apple of her cheek onto the hardwood floor.
It's okay, sweetie. I just want to get him to bed, and then I'll come up. I promise.
I can help you, I said, making a move toward the door.
No.
The tone of her voice surprised me, and I halted. Damn it, Natalie. Do as you're told and go to your room. My mouth popped open, and Mom bit her lip, closing her eyes tight.
I'm sorry. Please, honey, just give me a few minutes.
The door swung open behind her, and Dale stumbled through the frame. His dark hair was slick with sweat, his eyes rimmed in red. When they found mine, I gulped. I'd always seen Dale as nurturing, kind of like the father I'd never had. He was caring and calm, patient and understanding. He was a businessman, firm but compassionate. But that night, all I saw when I looked into his eyes was a menacing calm that scared me more than I would admit to myself.
Natalie, please. My mom begged.
I looked to her once more, feeling my heart ache at the sight of her tears, before I did as she asked. I didn't chance another look at Dale before jogging up the stairs and into my room. Shutting the door behind me, I reached for my phone and quickly typed out a text to Rhodes. He was working the first night shift at his new job, serving as one of the cooks in a small diner right across the street from the high school. It wasn't everything he wanted, but it was a start. And right now, it was a major inconvenience to me. I hated how selfish I felt, but I needed him. When 10 minutes went by without him responding, I knew I wouldn't hear from him until his shift ended. Fighting back my own tears, I collapsed into the covers on my bed and wrapped them around me. I stared at my closed door, listening to the shuffle and muffled voices of Mom and Dale down the hall. I had no idea what was happening.
Was it Dale's addiction? What exactly was he addicted to? Had he hit Mom? Would he hit Mom? It seemed like an eternity had passed when Mom finally slipped through my door, holding her finger to her lips to ask me to stay quiet. I simply held up the cover so she could crawl into bed with me. When she did, I wrapped my arms around her and I told her I loved her. And she cried.